May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Picture this, a time of innocence, a time of wonder, a time when the most pressing decision of the day was the ratio of peanut butter and jelly with the afternoon snack. And in the midst of this idyllic era, there I lay, nestled snugly between the covers of my colorful Noah's Ark sheets. Yes, you heard that right. While some kids were dreaming of race cars or princess castles, I was sailing the high seas with Noah and his menagerie of animals two by two. The sheets were adorned with various illustrations of the Ark and a sail across a rainbow-filled sky. The Ark itself was depicted in vivid detail, with animals of all shapes and sizes peeking out from portholes and perched on its decks. There was a scene that showed the Ark being built, the travels on water, and then the happy ending of all the animals finally out of that small boat to frolic and enjoy their new home and new freedom. The artwork on the sheet captured part of the story, but not all. I remember wondering what it would be like being on a boat like that. I would try to imagine the world starting over in that way. Everything looked so exciting and fun, and the story made a kind of sense to me that brought me comfort. Comfort that God saw everything and knew everything and was able to make everything all right. It wasn't until I grew older that I learned more about the story of Noah's Ark. And let me tell you, there's quite a bit to it. Humanity had trespassed and corrupted God's creation, leading to violence and destruction. The celestial sons of God took earthly women. Animals rebelled against their nature, and violence spread everywhere. God decided to destroy those responsible for the ruin. With the flood, God uncreates a failed Eden, while preserving a tiny piece for a transformed and renewed creation. After the dove returns to the ark with an olive leaf, it's time to disembark. And that's when God's unstoppable plan for harmony clashes with God's unchanging mercy for humanity. In our verses, we hear a promise. This is more than a promise, it's a pact that applies not only to the present generation and to its offspring and to every living creature, but also to future generations. The Hebrew word for future, olam, is the farthest reaching expression that Hebrew has. Also, in the grammar, there is intentional repetition of key words that highlight the enigma of how a one-sided pact becomes entirely mutual, and how the intent of the pact is rooted in gift. God chooses self-imposed and preemptive boundaries. As for me, God vows, never, never, never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. As a memory aid, God pledges to set God's unstrung war bow in the clouds. This is a divine, unconditional restraining order to not blot out violent, failed creation ever again. Noah remains silent through all of this. He is probably relieved that he doesn't have to say anything to God. After so long at sea with his acutely dysfunctional family, tolerance was most likely gone, and he may have picked up some tips from the scorpions on board that he might like to try out. So as you see, this story is inescapably about us. It's about how things came into being and how those things shape us here and now as Christians. And in this story, which is my story and yours, the climax is the gospel. So it is very fitting that it is Mark's gospel, known for its brevity and pace. Immediacy. Urgency. We hear it. The Spirit is on Jesus the moment he's out of the water, and immediately he's in the wilderness being tested. There is a general consensus that Mark was written after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem that happened in the year 70. Roman legions surrounded the city, cut off supply lines, and prevented inhabitants from escaping. The siege lasted for several months, leading to widespread famine, disease, and desperation. Streets and alleys became battlegrounds for close-quarters combat, resulting in high casualties and civilian deaths. There was intense resistance, massacre, destruction, suffering, and tragedy. To add to that, the power plays among many of the political, religious, and military leaders were vicious and debased. It was a time rife with violence. So there are no words wasted in mapping out this chaos in Mark's gospel. Instead, there is a total focus on Jesus being the main character in a world-changing story. Our passage is the brief yet potent preparation. The wild beasts, Satan, and the angels. Nothing in Mark is spelled out for the reader, and so we must imagine and put ourselves into the story. What happened in the wilderness? Did wolves show off how good they are at coordinating attacks? Did spiders patiently spin webs to trap and ensnare? What about the exchanges between Satan and Jesus and the angels? And so, with this kind of storytelling Mark uses, we become a part of the narrative and have to grasp and share in the reality to which the story testifies, which is of Jesus as someone who has the authority and the capacity to change anything and everything in this world. Mark's gospel ends with a big cliffhanger in which, if we want the story to continue, we need to discover and realize Jesus at work in the world. This first Sunday in Lent is the perfect time to do just that, to engage with our own narratives in the light of this world-changing gift offered to us in peace. Lent is a time to admit to ourselves we don't know the whole story. And we need to wonder, we need to imagine what could be. What can our unwavering appeal to God for a good conscience look like? What if we let go of harmful behaviors that hurt not only ourselves but also others? What if we asked for help? What if we were open to changing our perspectives and opinions? What if we allowed outdated aspects of our character to dissolve, making room for transformation? What if we were to become open, truly open, to knowing God's ways and paths? What if we chose love over hate, forgiveness over grudges, compassion over judgment? What if we let go of our fears and insecurities trusting in Him to guide us through the wilderness of our own doubts and struggles? What if we were to let Him be there for us in a real way when we find ourselves at the very edge of our world? And what if we chose peace every time, all the time? Peace. What then? What would creation look like then? Those sheets are long gone. And now, decisions in life carry much more weight than the ratio of peanut butter and jelly. But the story of how tough and persistent God's love is still wrapped around me in the daytime, in the nighttime, always. May our lives be living testimonies to the transformative power of the gospel as we seek to embody the peace Jesus brought and taught. And may we never cease to marvel at the story, our story of salvation, made possible through Jesus Christ. Amen.